Okay, maybe you're listening on Apple, maybe you're listening on Android. Here's the thing, I don't really care. If you are not a member of Mug Club, all I ask is that you leave a review, a rating, and include the words stroke detecting tiger. That's leave a review and include the words stroke detecting tiger. It'll make a whole lot more sense if you join Mug Club. See how I turned it? I turned it. Oh, that is delicious.
Ooh.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. So it's a new, I got a new tea this week. You know, I just recently got back into the tea because, and this is true, the reason I stopped was because of how aggressive they were at the mall from Teavana.
Hmm.
It was like carnival barkers. It's like a third world country where they're going to haggle with you. I guess they shut down a while ago. So the point is, I shouldn't let other people affect my emotions that much.
I've also been teabagged at the mall.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to be talking about that Don't Say Gay Bill in just a little bit. And Mark Hamill. So before we get to, well, before we get to anything else, look, today we are going to be talking not only about Russia-Ukraine, but of course about the media reaction here. Surprise, I don't know if you know this, Trevor Noah and Joy Reid think that you are racist if you care about our Ukrainian friends. And we're also going to be talking about how this affects you when we're, these new sanctions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also the idea of the United States dollar being used as a reserve currency. There are a lot of elements here that maybe people aren't really taking into account. We're not just World War III doesn't necessarily look like World War I and II, especially when you have international governments who are beholden to each other and linked. You know, this whole we are the world thing kind of backfires when, you know, you're only as strong as your assholish link.
It's true.
So speaking of which, and after that intro, if you miss us here on YouTube, and we haven't told you that we're not doing a show on YouTube. It's Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can watch us on Rumble. Nothing would make me happier than YouTube to crumble under the weight of the Rumble overlords. And, of course, Mug Club, loudofcredit.com/Mug Club. $99 for students, $99 or $69 for students, veterans, active military. We're going to do another hour of the show.
Yeah.
What's going on there, Tim the Tool Man? Are you okay?
I don't have overlays, so...
Oh, geez.
Bring them in.
Yeah,
well,
bring them in.
If we don't have them in, you guys all know references are all available at loudofcredit.com.
We'll get them. We'll get them in 2 minutes.
And my question of the day before I bring our friends in, how much longer can Joy Reid remain employed while her go-to is calling everything racist?
Other than herself.
It's sort of like how long could Ronda Rousey be champion, you know, once people figured out the armbar?
Yeah, but that was it.
Yeah. Well, she had like a bunch of setups. Jordy doesn't even have more setups. She just goes straight to "you're racist," and I don't even say, "Well, okay, well, we've already done that." So I don't know. But again, no one really watches her. All right, before we move on to that, Gerald A., how are you?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay?
I got some sleep.
What?
Yeah, I got like, for me, I can operate on 6 hours. I'm like Elon Musk.
Well, let me.
Just so you know, tonight, if you sleep, a clown will eat you.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to bed thinking that now.
No, that's why I have a guard on my door. I have like one of those door stops.
Yeah, it's not going to help.
Yeah. Well, I figure it helps that I'm not six. So I'm in a less at-risk category.
There you go.
That's the problem with being a six-year-old. You're at very little risk for COVID. Mm-hmm. Huge risk for clown rape.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, the good Lord giveth, the good Lord taketh away. Wow. And you hear him, you see him, you know him, you love him. You can follow him on Twitter at Landau Dave. Dave Landau, how are you?
Ahoy. Good. How about you?
Well, I'm okay, but we're going to get into Stephen Colbert here.
Oh, cool.
And I know you're not a fan.
No, huge fan.
Oh,
I saw him read a poetry at Carnegie Hall against Trump. It was great.
Yes.
Slam poetry?
It was the worst thing I've ever seen, Gerald.
You ever been to an open mic night and see someone go up and do slam poetry?
No,
imagine.
I leave.
It's sort of the burlesque dancer of the comedy world. Like the burlesque dancers are strippers who couldn't make the cut.
Yeah.
Slam poets are comedians who couldn't make the cut.
Yes, it was. I went to see Nathaniel Rateliff and Jason Isbell, lead singer and the lead singer of the Black Crowes, and out came Stephen Colbert to do a poem called "The Mockingbird."
Oh, I don't know if you can see Dave there. You can pick up the names you dropped. So
no, I didn't meet them.
Oh,
I paid a ticket to see them.
Okay. Wasn't weird at them.
But if I did have that, I wouldn't drop them all the time. I'd be like, "Hey guys, you know who I've met?" But yeah, he came out and sang a song, or sang, did a poem called The Mockingbird about Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, even, it was for a thing to free Tibet or whatever crap. I'm not sure where Tibet stands, but something about Tibet.
And afterward, they immediately banned him.
Every liberal in Carnegie Hall was like, oh. Like, everyone was uncomfortable with what he did.
I agree with what he said, but that was terrible presentation.
No, it wasn't. I didn't agree with anything.
It's no, them,
he
the
wrote
liberals.
A poem.
The liberals. A few people are like, I should have gone to the deli. That's right. You went to the hall.
I think Joy Reid should get into wrestling now that we know she can take a fall.
Yes.
But only male wrestling.
Yeah. Well, it's a gender bender with wrestling. We don't know anymore.
Yeah, okay. We don't know.
So this is something that Stephen Colbert said either yesterday or the day before, depending on when you're watching this, or depending on my timeline. I believe it was the night before last.
One of those things.
I'm just trying to soften the blow here. It's a psychological term, right? They use it in front loading.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. And if you work to support a family, you're probably not going to be thrilled. And by that, I mean you're going to want to punch a hole through the entire world. Here's Stephen Colbert letting you know just how virtuous he is in paying higher gas prices.
Since the invasion, oil prices have skyrocketed. Today, the average gas price in America hit an all-time record high of over $4 per gallon. Okay, that stings, but a clean conscience is worth a buck or two. I'm willing to pay.
Applause sign.
Yeah.
It's important. Right. It's important. I'm willing to pay $4 a gallon. Hell, I'll pay $15 a gallon.
Wrong.
Because I drive a Tesla.
Mm.
Oh.
Now, I mean, the term tone deaf is thrown around quite a bit, but he just said to an audience of largely middle-class people who were sitting out in the freezing cold waiting to get into that studio that I'll pay $15 a gallon because I drive something you can't afford.
Right. I make $16 million a year. Is that what you said earlier?
It's between 15 and 16, which just makes me mad.
Yeah, don't worry. It's disgusting. But also, they're clapping because there's a sign that tells them to, because no one on earth agrees with that.
Yes. Yeah. That's the only sign people respect anymore, I guess. That and the no smoking sign on airplanes.
Yeah, I wonder what his jet takes.
Yeah, exactly.
He has a Tesla jet, Dave.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm willing to pay. By the way, how's your Tesla powered? Mm. Not only is he in New York.
Is it powered with the smell of his own farts?
Yeah.
I bet he'd love that.
He would, yeah. Well, the problem is he wouldn't power his Tesla because he'd use all the fuel.
Yeah, that's true. He's like, I keep huffing it.
It's your own brand.
Oh, I'm the best.
Well, this took a time.
How are you going to power it? Also, think about this. People don't really, we are light years away from being, if everyone switched to Teslas tomorrow, and I think Teslas are cool cars. I like Teslas. They're made here in America. I love Teslas. I did a whole segment with the Hodge twins on Tesla where I said my mind was changed. I was wrong about Teslas. Okay? I want to be clear about that. But if everyone switched to Teslas or electric cars tomorrow, our power grid couldn't handle it.
Well, the owner of Tesla doesn't agree with him.
Right.
The guy who makes the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
You mean the evil oil baron from Fern Gully, Elon Musk?
Yeah, the terrible man who invented perfected the electric car.
Perfected the electric
car. And everybody hated him for it.
Yeah, and then, of course, they chastised him for smoking a joint on Joe Rogan's show. It's like, hold on a second, you're pro-pot and you're pro-electric car, and now you're vilifying this guy. This guy who perfected the electric car had to leave California for Texas.
Yeah, well, I think the problem was he got rich. That's the issue.
Is that
he
problem?
Was successful. Now we hate him, even though he does everything we like.
Now he's enjoying a joint with the one guy that everyone smokes a joint with. This
right.
is horrible.
Yes. I mean, that guy smokes joints like Parliament's, Joe Rogan.
Why wouldn't he hit a joint?
That's the least problematic thing that he puts in his body.
Joe Rogan smokes so much weed, Willie Nelson would say, I have to go home now, Joe.
That guy hit a joint and was like, you know what? I'm going to space.
Yes.
That's incredible.
That's, by the way, here's amazing, a flamethrower. Play around with it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Woohoo. Good Lord. Colbert, though, is just completely out of touch, and the fact that any of his audience would agree with this is absurd.
Well, here's the thing. He's saying the quiet part out loud. Just so you know, this is a guy who gets on calls with people in this administration. This is the guy who advertised for vaccines, right? Moderna. This was a glorified ad cloaked as a sketch. And I know that because we do glorified ads cloaked as sketches. That being said, there isn't the same. We're not getting them from Big Pharma, from Built Bar, from, you know, Walther.
The dancing gas cans just lost their job.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
No, we need dancing Colbert farts.
It's just batteries.
By the way, so much money. So his salary is more than the budget for this includes rent, utilities, salaries for everyone. Yours truly. And he still gets half the viewers in the demographic that we do.
Yeah. Well, and he also said something that not a lot of people resonated with. Like, I'll pay a couple of extra dollars to have a clean conscience. I'm like, oh, really? For gas? Do you understand what gas does to the rest of the prices in the market for the people who can't afford to pay more for food and for shelter and for insurance? All of that stuff starts to creep up. It starts to increase with inflation.
Not to mention your clean conscience doesn't really mean anything when it would exist if you filled up your tank with dead babies.
Right.
Ouch.
No, it's true.
No, my conscience is clean. Hey, what's your stance on abortion up until birth and including shut up?
Well, up until $14, apparently.
Yeah, I guess.
Can we do a trial period to see if you want to keep them?
That's where he stops, though, and I wonder why.
Can we do a trial period for late night hosts?
Oh,
and believe me, it's not. Look, this is. Let's people say
they did it to Conan,
right? They did it.
Who should still have it?
Now they rightfully did it to Lily Singh.
Well,
yeah. But this is the whitest guy on television, so I'm not protecting my ilk. Just to be clear, he sucks.
Yeah,
we're totally. I'm totally anti-white when it comes to Stephen Colbert.
Yes,
I don't think
he's
should have that.
He's incredibly white.
Please replace him with any black person you can find.
As a matter of fact, if you were to replace him with a black comedian doing the white guy voice, if I were to listen to it on audio, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Right. Yeah.
I want to replace him with Sinbad.
Yeah. Sinbad doing the white voice. Think about using. I'm fine paying an extra $1 or $2 per gallon. What?
What would you say?
What'd you say? I'd be fine paying 15 because I drive a Tesla. You really just. You haven't had your ass kicked in a long time, have you?
I say get Chevy Chase or Bill Cosby.
Yes. Yes.
One or the other.
Yeah.
The worst host of late night and just a guy who's not very good.
All right. Let's move on here now to someone else who is on television. Because that's a thing.
That's a Chevy. Qualification.
By the way, is Brian Stelter still employed? I don't know. He thinks he's going to be fired because CNN wants to apparently do news. Oh, he's like, I'm going to lose everything.
I hope.
I'm 36.
I want to do the Pelosi.
Okay.
He chains his seatless bike up outside of CNN.
I don't want him to steal the seat.
That's why I don't have one.
That's where I meet Don Lemon to fight, by the bike racks, you bitch. That was my spot.
Stealing all the good men. I mean women.
Yes.
I know you took my banana seat.
I saw you making eyes at Cuomo. He's mine, damn it. So, of course, Joy Reid echoed something that Trevor Noah said earlier this week. And spoiler alert, Ukraine, Russia, really, not the issue. It's not the global economic policy. It's not the fallout. It's not the potential for World War III. Hmm. It's not the instability. It's not about us fighting wars in which we have no actual vested interest or potentially joining in. We're basically fighting a war. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah, yeah.
We just haven't dropped bombs yet. No. All of this, according to Joy Reid and Trevor Noah, is about racism, which brings us to this week, insane in the Ukraine. Now, I know that it's Ukraine, not the Ukraine, but the point is, look, just insane.
Had to work, yeah.
As a juggalo, I have to be true.
To Cypress Hill?
Yes.
Oh, wait, is Insane in the Membrane? For some reason, I don't know. Yeah, that's right. That's true.
Insane in the Brain.
You know what? A lot of people think that Kill a Man is Rage Against the Machine, but it's not. It's Cypress Hill, and the better version is Cypress Hill.
And I like Cypress Hill.
All right. So Joy Reid made this statement on her show that the only reason people care so much about Ukraine is because something racism.
As the world watches the devastation unfold in Ukraine, nearly 4,000 miles away, another crisis is deepening that we don't hear much about in the U.S., and that is the war in Yemen. The coverage of Ukraine has revealed a pretty radical disparity in how human Ukrainians look and feel to Western media compared to their browner and blacker counterparts, with some reporters using very telling comparisons in their analyses of the war.
No, that means accurate.
This isn't a place, with all due respect, like Iraq or Afghanistan, that has seen conflict raging for decades. You know, this is a relatively civilized, relatively European, I have to choose those words carefully too, city where you wouldn't expect that or hope that it's going to happen.
Civilized. Okay, let's face it. The world is paying attention because this is happening in Europe. If this was happening anywhere else, would we see the same outpouring of support and compassion? But we don't need to ask ourselves if the international response would be the same if Russia unleashed their horror on a country that wasn't white and largely Christian.
Okay, a couple of things there. Compassion, do you mean like accepting record numbers of refugees who went on to commit mass rapings across Europe? No, we've paid attention to this for a very long time. It's just hard to pay attention when, of course, the wars over there never stop. There's never been peace in that region of the world. Also, it's inconsequential to the rest of the world. As a general rule, what do I mean by that? In case you think that's derogatory, I mean they don't matter as much. Not their lives. I mean their global impact. Now, this is not something unique to Joy Reid, so expect to see this playbook just like yesterday when we basically fact-checked, like an oracle, Biden in real time. Yeah. We fact-checked him before he said what he said. Trevor Noah said this about Ukraine earlier this week.
Here's the thing, people. Here's the thing. Beyond the racism, right? Like, let's forget the racism. Oh, how I wish we could forget about the racism.
Shut up.
You do realize that until very recently, fighting crazy wars was Europe's thing. That was Europe's entire thing.
It wasn't
That's
the Ottoman
all of European
thing.
History. They even had something Mongols. Called the Hundred Years' War. You understand how long that is? That's like a decade.
Wrong.
There's one person.
They got a Nobel Prize because they stopped fighting. Imagine that. Now people are going to be like, oh, to see this in Europe, to see this. Like, I'll tell you now, I don't know about you, but I was shocked to see how many reporters around the world, by the way, seem to think that it's more of a tragedy when white people have to flee their countries. Because I guess what? The darkies were built for it?
Nope.
Okay, couple things.
Wow.
First off, I guess there's peace in Africa? You can't find a battle in Africa. You can't find a war going on. Nary a fight to be found in Africa. It's a white people thing. Second, let me be really clear to Joy Reid and Trevor Noah. And you can comment below if you know what I'm about to say. I think it could be said pretty quickly in a short summary. No, the reason we're talking about Russia-Ukraine is because it's the single biggest, greatest, largest military action that's taken place in Europe since World War II.
You get it?
Contrast to the Middle East, people are at war all the time.
Yeah.
It's people whose old shit looks just like their new shit fighting other people whose old shit looks just like their new shit.
Well, and that reporter's point was, look, this isn't a war-torn area. This isn't somebody who's been fighting wars off and on forever with Iraq and Iran. And in Yemen, you have to understand that's mostly a civil war that's being supported by two other countries. It's not like Saudi Arabia invaded Yemen or Iran invaded Yemen. Right. They basically are just supporting different sides of the conflict in Yemen.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. It's still horrible. Nobody is saying that that's fine.
Right.
What we're saying is Russia is trying to come in and take over another country and take from them everything that they have.
Yeah.
These other conflicts.
Because that country's, I don't know, right there?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not because they're white. And some of these guys are.
Could be because it's one of our greatest adversaries. Really, ever. In modern history for the United States of America,
yeah.
And the greatest or largest, I don't want to say greatest, I want to be careful, the largest scale military action that has taken place from one country in Europe against another since World War II just so happens to have been committed by someone who we've had to keep our eye on for a while.
Yes, exactly. And what is the dominoes after this is what a lot of people are worried about, too. It's like, okay, what's next? If he takes Ukraine, is he going to go and do some other stuff against the NATO country? And now we have to get involved. What happens if Iran, let's say Iran just attacks Yemen and takes it over? Geopolitically, what happens?
You're overthinking.
Nothing.
I think it really just comes down to they are advocates for black on black crime, and I don't care for it.
Yep. No, I know.
They are racist.
They're just handing out handguns.
It's literally two of the dumbest statements I've ever heard, and the white guy who's there is like, I don't know how I can say this. It's fairly European. It's like, what does it matter? It's people running from their homes so they don't die,
yeah.
And you have a problem that they're white? I'm sorry.
Right. No, he was he's just trying to say, like, Yemen is relatively civil, like maybe European. Now, if you follow that up and go, okay, what does he mean by that? Does that mean that he's by the way, how is it racist for him to say that when he's comparing it to other Middle Eastern countries? He's comparing it to what he means is, you know, plumbing. So
yeah, just small things.
Small thing.
Yeah, but good for her for being a complete piece of shit.
Yeah,
sorry, she's losing her show still,
I just
right?
don't so understand why anybody would sit there and say that this is about racism.
Yeah.
No.
It makes no sense. It's become the argument. It's the only argument they have, and it's so boring at this point.
And the only people who could, I guess, be perceived as not racist would have to be people like me and people in this room who don't think we should be engaged in this war between Russia and Ukraine at all. So, I mean, we're not even saying that we should go and save white people. In other words, you're the only people at MSNBC, the Democrats and the Republicans, the John Boltons of the world, right? The establishment rhinos and the establishment Democrats. Those are the racists. We're the is it done now? Are we a Nazi here?
Yeah,
we're not supporting white people.
I don't think, well, yeah, I don't think we should send our, you know, every kind of soldier that we have, black, white, Mexican, whatever it might be, over and fight. I don't think we should send anybody from America. Is that okay?
Well, I don't know. I think that's racist. Next segment. Hey, by the way.
And sexist.
LiveEarthCredit.com/tour. Dave and I are on tour. We'll be in Tulsa, Oklahoma on May 14th. The show in Colorado Springs sold out. We're going to add another show. And then, Dave, you have a show coming up.
I do. Hartford Funny Bone next weekend. And then go to DaveLandau.com. Some Illinois dates.
Well, I think it's up at LiveEarthCredit.com/tour. We have your dates on there, too.
Yes.
So your dates and then the dates we do together. But Tulsa, Oklahoma, that's May 14th. It's close to filling up. So if you want those tickets,
do it.
Go buy them right now. All right. Here's another thing that's happening today. Hey, let me ask you this. All the crypto people out there who always get my attention when I'm just trying to get a Slurpee at Quick Trip to tell me what I need to invest in.
What's up?
Do you feel safe with your cryptocurrency today? Uh-huh. Here's my thing is I understand the concept behind cryptocurrency. Now, before you get mad, the primary driving purpose for cryptocurrency is that it can't be regulated, that it's something that can sort of be, you know, be under the radar. Well, that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And I know you'll say, well, only the ones that are on these markets, just stop. Look, the only cryptocurrencies that will be available will be the ones that you use to maybe buy bombs in the dark web at some point. And by the way, most people aren't actually spending money with cryptocurrency. This is just my little summary here. They're usually actually making it part of a diversified portfolio and looking at how much it's increased in worth. And it's basically another form of a stock and equity. That's what it is. You're trading it like a commodity and it's a speculative market. My point here is everyone said cryptocurrency, man, acting like it was a digital version of gold that the government couldn't touch. Well, we know today because of Biden's executive order, that's no longer the case. And we saw it with Trudeau. But here's the thing that you may not know and the media lied to you about. This isn't new. So you're reading about this morning. Former Vice President Biden is going to sign an executive order today in a whole of government, quote, push to regulate cryptocurrencies. Now, of course, just to give you context, 40 million American adults traded cryptos last year. So there's a chance that quite many of you have.
Yeah.
40 million, so that's 40. That's 40 million more than Colbert viewers. His is almost less than all of that. Here's how he framed it, though. He's going to sign this today, this executive order, and it's framed as though the order is written as a response to Russian aggression. Let me read you what they're saying. Spoiler, not true. So it reads, cryptocurrencies may undercut U.S. sanctions and efforts to fight money laundering, a senior administration official said, and by the way, we can always just replace that with liar. Concerns have been heightened as the U.S. has leveled sanctions on Russia in response to its invasion of Ukraine. Here's the thing. This has been in the works for a very, very long time. They just need to use this war for your buy-in.
Yeah, this is cover.
When people talk about the war machine, okay, after 9/11, I think some people needed some ass kickings. I don't think that Iraq was well advised, just to be clear. But I do think there's an appropriate time for war. But when people talk about the war machine, what they're talking about is using a war to ram through, whether it could be economic policies, whether it could be other domestic policies, that have nothing to do with that war, like cryptocurrency. So, November 2021, there was a report from the President's Working Group on Financial Markets. You can see the references at LiveEarthCredit.com. And it shows you have it right here from the Department of Treasury. That's the reference we have that shows us was in the works long before the invasion. Yeah. The order will help. This is what they said. Protect U.S. and global financial stability. Right. That's what they're saying now about Russia. Here's the truth. It's actually about increasing revenue from digital assets. By the way, you can actually. Where am I getting that from? In the bill, they said it was about increasing revenue from digital assets. Here's a quote. The law will require brokers, aka cryptocurrency exchanges, to notify the IRS directly of crypto transactions. That's November 2021. It has nothing to do with Russia and Ukraine. This is a long time coming. I told you guys about it. If you believe it has anything to do with Putin, you probably watched Joy Reid.
Right. Well, and look at the Trudeau example, right? He had the Emergencies Act.
I thought you were going to say the shoe polish.
Well, no. That's, I mean, he does that too.
But yeah, he loves blackface. Well,
it's Wednesday,
that's
right?
That's his cryptocurrency.
He's due for another
one. He adores blackface.
So they had an Emergencies Act. They shut down GoFundMe, and then they seized and froze assets, essentially, for some of these people that they were trying to kick out or punish for being protesters or leading the protests. And then they actually seized some of their crypto wallets as well. Now, there's issues with that. You can have a decentralized wallet. So they are only using this as a cover to do things like that, because you said they want to maintain, you know, like they want to get revenue from it too. They also want to maintain dominance.
Right, exactly.
They want to launch, I read through this entire thing, they want to launch their own cryptocurrency that is a reflection on the US dollar, right? It's essentially just a virtual dollar.
This is why I don't even understand it anymore. If the government wants to launch their own cryptocurrency, then what is cryptocurrency? I thought the whole point was to evade the government.
It's a threat to the governments, right? And that's what everybody's
saying. I know,
but
my point is, how is the government going to release a cryptocurrency? It makes no sense.
Well, they can do it.
Well, they're just going to steal it and then take all the money they want and then go, hey, it's worth a dollar now and you're screwed.
Yeah, well, you mean do what the government does.
And probably find anybody who's made millions and millions and millions off of crypto and go
tax
back
them.
In your taxes.
Right.
See, oh, boy.
There's some guy illegally streaming this from his basement right now, which, by the way, Chet, you don't need to do. It's already free.
Chet,
a multi-millionaire from cryptocurrency.
Chet.
We know. We're on to you.
Crypto Chet.
Cash out all your crypto. Change your money to Chaz. Or name. Sorry. Both.
Yeah.
Autonomous Chet.
This is just the issue that this is the problem with war.
Trying.
Well, no, this is the problem with war. The problem with war when you're talking is it's used to obfuscate so much.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still sort of peeling back the layers with Iraq. Right? There were a lot of people who supported going into Iraq and then afterwards said, oh, probably not because we didn't have all the information that we needed. It's fine to change your mind based on new information, not to change your principles. That's a key difference that I think a lot of people need to make. You can change your mind based on new information, not change your opinion and your principles. That was my issue always with Mitt Romney, where Mitt Romney said, I'm pro-life now. He didn't really have a good enough reason because he was already a Mormon, and of course, most Mormons are pro-life. And then he said, I'm pro-life, but I wasn't before. Well, what changed? That's changing a principle. Changing your mind, for example, strategically on Iraq, because you see how the war was carried out and you see the fallout, that's not changing your principle. You still believe in the principle of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. You're just saying, well, that didn't really serve those principles.
Yeah. Well, and right now the public only has so much bandwidth, so many things that we can care about. And so we've seen COVID pretty much disappear from the news. I don't know the last time that I've actually seen something.
Well, it's not a thing.
COVID right now, right? Everything you see right now is Russia, Ukraine, and President Biden is doing a fantastic job. You don't see anything about this. This is the time when you have to be very, very careful because the administration and the politicians know nobody is watching the store and they can do things that you may not agree with and then it's too late.
They can go in, they can rob the store provided it's under $999.
Well, that's... No. It's Congress, so it's $999 million.
But once the Queen gets ivermectin, allegedly, right. You kind of have to... Kind of got to stop doing what you're doing and be like, well, okay, red-handed.
Well, I don't think people really cared because that's the least offensive thing coursing through the Queen's blood.
Well, that's true.
Coursing through her blue blood.
Right. The actual horse blood in her is worse than the...
Yeah. The gene therapy, and by that I mean her brother/father's genes that course through her veins, trying to escape her fingertips, is why she's always doing this.
I don't know how they live so long. It's really strange.
Well, I think that might be the secret to a long, long life. Granted, it's a terrible, painful life of inbreak.
Horrible existence.
But
I found it's the fountain of youth. Oh, what's that? Well, having sex with your sibling.
Yes.
It's a trade-off.
Someone kill me.
It's like the old monkey paw. I wished for everlasting life, and then I had to do unspeakable things.
I've heard the screams from hell since I was a girl.
Yes.
They get louder every day.
Can you hear them now? Do you hear the screams of hell ringing? They're always ringing.
I sat on my back nipples and it hurts.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's why I never remove this jacket. It looks like I'm from a puppy mill.
I don't need those flippers for scuba diving. I've brought my own. I made them in the womb.
Well, there again, there's the good Lord giveth, and he taketh away. He did giveth. I've set all human aquatic speed records.
She's going to go pearl diving
Queen
for 19
Flipper.
Minutes.
Yeah.
That's why she has all those necklaces.
Yeah, there's what, she found all the jewels in Pirate's Treasure.
Yeah.
I found the heart of the ocean.
Yes. I drug up the treasure chest with my teeth. I'm insanely strong.
Just comes out of the water with a knife in her mouth like a pirate. All right.
May I have a bedpan for one of my four anuses.
More efficient.
Well, look, yeah.
I mean, come on.
I don't have enough time in the day. Who can wipe this much? After the third one, it's just like having your ears pierced.
So, here's something else while we're talking about the media, and that's sort of the theme today of the media misrepresenting almost. This is a conversation I had at Fox News when I worked there. I worked there for 4.5 years. And I remember having a conversation with one of the top two people at Fox. Let's put it that way. That way,
well, that narrows it down.
Top person at Fox News.
Was it the fat one?
And no, it wasn't. You're thinking of the rapey one?
Yeah,
could have been.
No,
I have no idea.
Wasn't Raj?
So I had a conversation where they said, "Yeah, you know, if Mitt Romney wins, that's going to be bad for it's going to be bad for business." And I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, you know, being the opposition party." And I said, "It doesn't matter who wins. You have the entire entertainment media industrial complex. That's the problem. That's the enemy. The people who are lying, who are pulling the wool over the eyes of the American people." So Biden's not really a very fun adversary, the former vice president, because he's an idiot. It's almost not fair. At least Barack Obama was cunning. He was smart enough, you know.
Yeah.
With Donald Trump, it was fun for the left because he was aggressive. He was bombastic. With Biden, it's like spanking a puppy. People feel bad for him, even if they don't like him, even if it's a really bad puppy. That being said, the media is really, that's my problem. This is what I've always been passionate about, is the corruption, is the dishonesty, and the people who control information. And by the way, there's nothing more important right now, probably, to the free world than the free flow of information, because it's controlled by about five companies. And that's why you're seeing everyone on the same page. So here's something that happened this week. And thank God Governor DeSantis shut it down. Mm-hmm. Florida bill H1557, or as you may know it, the Don't Say Gay bill, which, by the way, appears nowhere in the bill. Cryptocurrency appears in the November 21st bill.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't Say Gay appears nowhere in this bill.
Oh.
That being said, it, of course, was portrayed this way, and it was trending all over Twitter in the media, the Don't Say Gay bill.
Well, today, Florida lawmakers passed what opponents have called the Don't Say Gay bill.
You are gay.
The measure would limit classroom lessons on sexual orientation and gender identity among young children. The ACLU says 15 other states are considering bills.
Thank God.
That would also address LGBTQ+ issues in school.
Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay bill is one step closer to becoming law
today.
Yeah,
you called it.
This as it makes its way to Governor Ron DeSantis' desk. The controversial legislation says that schools cannot encourage classroom discussion about sexual orientation or gender identity.
There's an epidemic of LGBTQ kids hurting themselves here. Don't take away their reason not to.
Politicians in kindergarten rejected those basic values by advancing legislation that is designed to target and attack the kids who need the support the most, kids from the LGBTQI+ community.
Now, first off, let me address a couple things. First off, they're not the people who need the help the most. Not necessarily. some of them need help, sure, but let's just call it a wash. All kids need help. Second, we're supposed to believe that kids in the third grade, kindergarten through the third grade, are hanging themselves from a slip knot on the ceiling fan because they can't take a dump in the bathroom of their choice? That's why we need this bill? Also, can you just say the so-called Don't Say Gay bill? Oh, so that's what we're doing now. You can just make up whatever you want and say so-called if you are the one who so-called it. So I can say this so-called former vice president riddled with dementia and or Parkinson's, so-called.
Right.
So it has been called.
I think that works out really well. By the way, the other guy who was saying at the meeting, he said, these people are hurting themselves and don't take away the reason not to. It's like, oh, so you care about kids. I care about kids hurting themselves, which is why you don't shut down schools and drive up suicide rates and isolate kids in dangerous situations sometimes. You don't do that. Were you at that protest as well, making sure schools could reopen?
Oh, you think kids that can't look off their phone for 2 seconds, being locked in their room for 2 years, being scared to do anything or make a choice themselves? I don't think that hurt anybody.
No, I'm sure it's because they're reading Harry Potter books and Harry Potter still has his penis. That's why they're hurting themselves. Look,
most
it's
likely.
Easy to solve. Don't teach little kids about sexual orientation and give them some safety scissors.
5 to 8 years old.
Can we say don't say straight? Like, why don't we just not teach sexuality to anybody that age?
Well, hey, and that's
let's let them be kids. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
Could you let a child at least hit 11 before they realize the penis is the bane of their existence and ruin their life?
Yes, before they eliminate their ability to climax for the rest of their life before the age of sexual consent.
Right, just saying. Like, it's... Just as a guy, I just let him be happy for 10 years. It goes away.
If my kid asks for a toaster strudel for breakfast, the answer is no. Can you imagine what I'm going to say if he asks for an estrogen pellet?
I don't want my penis. Just eat your broccoli.
Yeah, just eat your I don't like broccoli either. Fine, just cut off your penis. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, the reverse psychology worked on me.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
So
these
done.
Kids are so clever. By the way, Mark Hamill even tweeted out,
gay!
Lots of them.
Gay, 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 gay. Really sticking it to the man.
Did he watch some of the recent Star Wars movies?
Yeah, well, he also unfortunately tweeted out this picture, which just seems like, you know, this is what we're talking about. It's not appropriate ruining a children's for it's Disney. No. Disney, come
favorite,
on.
Favorite
suck
scene.
It, you will.
Yes. Your daddy? I am.
Yes.
Your Darth.
Your father will watch. Watch your dad.
And you
Leia goes, hold my hand.
How you say? No! Okay.
Is that the dark side?
No, it's just him. They're role-playing.
Your saber.
The point is they're consenting adults. It's totally what Yoda and Luke do in their own bedroom is their own business.
Yeah. Well, fine.
It is part of the Jedi training.
Yes, it is part of the Jedi training.
Why do you think he lives alone on a planet and calls young people to him?
That's how he was raising the X-Wing. Did you know? Like, he wasn't that far from it. It wasn't no contact. It was...
Yeah, he's court-ordered to be on that planet.
Yes.
You can't be around anybody.
Like, we have to go find
Master
Yoda.
You can't be within 100 galaxies.
Any child.
With children.
He's got an ankle bracelet.
Where's Luke? He didn't find Yoda out in the woods planet, did he?
Yoda just comes out with those giant office space glasses.
Luke just comes back really quiet.
Oh, dessert. What?
So the bill is actually called Parental Rights and Education, okay? That's what the bill is called. The media leaves out key details in this bill. Not only does it not have – nowhere in the bill does it say, don't say gay.
Right.
Okay, this isn't the Lovely Bones. There are no rules except don't say gay. That's another rule. No, this it doesn't appear anywhere in the bill. Let me read you what the bill is about. Classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3 or in a matter that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate. Hey, that bill almost seems entirely appropriate. And by the way, this wouldn't even be necessary if you weren't having drag queen story hour for kids with, by the way, multiple serial pedophiles. We've covered that many times. You can't find it on YouTube. Go on Mug Club. Search Steven Crowder, drag queen story time. I'm sorry, but you are also welcome. And thank you, Governor DeSantis, for addressing this for the absolute tomfoolery that it is.
Parental rights and education, what critics call the Don't Say Gay bill, is on the Senate floor.
Does it say that in the bill?
Know that you support.
Does it say that in the bill?
I'm asking you
to tell me what's in the bill, because you are pushing false narratives. It doesn't matter what critics say.
Hold on. It says it bans classroom instruction on sexual identity and gender orientation.
For who?
For
grades pre-K through 3. So 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. And the idea that you wouldn't be honest about that and tell people what it actually says, it's why people don't trust people like you, because you peddle false narratives. And so we disabuse you of those narratives. And we're going to make sure that parents are able to send their kid to kindergarten without having some of this stuff injected into their school curriculum.
I would like him to stop using the word disabuse
and just
start abusing them.
Injected also didn't help.
No, it also didn't help.
Also, he's my president. I hope everyone knows that.
Yeah, I would love to see him run. A couple of things here. You know what? Can we do a little exercise really quickly? I'd like a lot of kids on college campuses are not even learning the Socratic method anymore. Uh-huh. So they're learning critical race theory. They're learning modern gender theory. Socratic method, how many times have we done a change my mind and we've asked them, are you aware of the Socratic method? No response. Okay. So, all right. Sexual orientation and gender identity. Okay. Of course, the left wants to teach this to children, ages kindergarten through the third grade. All right. Why? Let me ask you this. Okay. That means we need to make people aware of sexual orientation. Well, what is that? What is sexual orientation? Sexual orientation determines your sex and which member of sex you're attracted to. Sexually attracted to. I can't even say it without using the word sex, both sex meaning gender, the actual word sex, and sex meaning sexual activity.
Yeah.
Your sex, S-E-X-E, and sexual attraction. So Well, maybe that's inappropriate because we're talking about sex with kids. Gender identity. Well, what does that mean? What is gender identity? It's determining whether you are what? Male or female. Well, why does that matter? Because it matters to identify as one or the other for all sexual activity for the remainder of your life. So we want to teach children, not only teach them about these sexually charged issues, but also, as you see legislatively, give them permission to alter permanently their sexual capabilities. I know you say gender and sex are separate, but guess what? It's still actually, when you change your gender, it affects your sexual function. We want to teach children about this before they've even reached the age of sexual consent. And you wonder why parents are telling you to screw off in record numbers.
Right. And we also combine this with what some of the courts, or at least some of the politicians, want to do. They want to make it to where parents can't prevent their children from getting these puberty blockers and things like that.
They want to make it to where parents can't homeschool.
Right. They want to take away all this control. And by the way, I don't even think this bill goes far enough. Look, you're telling me that a 9-year-old should be having these conversations? I remember getting
third grade is eight.
Fourth grade. I'm going to fourth grade.
Oh.
He's saying this
Dang,
stops
yeah, late
at third
fourth grade.
Right?
Damn.
No, I'm saying at sixth grade, they had the sex talk with us in school. I remember because we all made jokes because we're sixth grade boys, right?
Yeah,
they're just giving us kind of a
so
basic
hard.
Conversation. That was even something that felt like, okay, maybe that's on the line, but that's at least closer. But come on, they're not supposed to be thinking about this anyway. And it's not that you want to make it okay for somebody who's feeling that way. You want to brainwash them because we've heard you say it's okay to explore. You tell a 6 or 7-year-old it's okay to explore and they don't really even know who they are yet. And then they go down these paths and they're like, oh, well, they said it's okay to go out and explore this stuff. It's totally fine. How in the world do you expect
And let me tell you
kids-
this. There's some, I had the sex talk when I was like 3 or 4, but my parents wanted to give me the sex talk, so I understood it when I was young, precisely because they didn't want me to learn it in the Quebec public educational system.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be learning it from a stranger, certainly not before the age of sexual. We're not talking. Remember how it started with, we need sex ed in schools. And then what happened is you would have some Christians saying, like, well, actually, okay, we see this being a slippery slope because this is something where maybe you could be teaching our teenagers something that we don't necessarily want them to learn sexually. Then it became, we're going to teach them sex ed in a very broad sense, which included all kinds of sex acts at that point that border even on no longer actually sex because there's no capability to reproduce, nor even a partner who's capable of reproducing with you. And then they want to have basically a sex education, including homosexuality and gender identity, with 6-year-olds.
Well, yeah, and even in sixth grade, like you said, the maturity level isn't there. I died laughing when our gym teacher rolled a condom onto a banana with his mouth.
Yes.
Because you'd seen him do it
dressed as Yoda.
Well, no, really, it was just a slideshow of STDs is all it was. It was like, and this is syphilis and gonorrhea if you don't get it treated. And you're like, what? What? It was just endless. Yeah. But the reason why they want to do it this young is very, very simple. Kids will believe anything. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah,
so if you can jam this into their throat as being, well, that's terrible.
That was a terrible.
I really didn't.
Worse
do that
than
on
DeSantis's
purpose.
Injection. Kind
yes, it is. But it is true. If you can tell them at a young age where they're able to be susceptible to any information you give them because they trust you, that's how they get the information to a kid, and that's how they can complete a narrative. That's the reality of it.
And then it's normal. It's everything that we want to push. The AAIP, the plus, everything that we want to say, not just today. But stuff that we come up with later, it's all normal. It's all
sex
fine.
Sex education shouldn't be allowed in an elementary school.
No.
I don't think that's a crazy thought.
No, I don't think
it's a crazy thought. I thought we were
trying to
desexualize.
And if your parents
culture.
Want to talk about it too, that's different. I learned when I was, like I said, when I was a kid, I learned what something was because I saw a video and I thought it was an ice cream cone, seriously. And then like later on.
It didn't help that you saw that video in the back of an ice cream truck.
Well, it's true. Well, I saw me on video after. But I remember like my learning about sex ed, then my mom showed us a video which was, you know, a sperm with a baseball cap and it didn't help. And then after that we watched Philadelphia.
That's
as
daddy,
a family.
DNA.
Yeah. I didn't like any of it.
No.
It all just seemed like it would kill you.
Yeah, no, that's what they showed us, a bunch of slides with STDs, and I went home and they said, what'd you do? I'm like, well, they showed us slides of JFK today.
Yeah. No one would why would you let it go to that? Like, certainly the itching itself has.
Like, I get that it can happen in one act with the wrong partner, but letting it progress to the point where you look like the royal family.
Well, I mean, there's an elephant in the room, but there's a point where it's like, how long did you ignore this for?
Yes.
For 2 years, you're like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm good.
It'll get better on
its own. Elephant in the room, your member doesn't have to look like the elephant man.
Yeah, meanwhile, every time you take a step, you're just crying.
Yeah.
You just hear a crunch.
Yeah. I am not an animal. I'm a human.
No, just a lot of dandruff.
Hey, speaking of which, you know, I was going to admonish you for that point, but we can't because I need to be admonished. Now, let me explain this to you.
Yes.
I said something. And by the way, I want you to comment below and admonish me. So this is because we want to be as transparent as possible when I make mistakes. I said something yesterday that was so incredibly dumb that as soon as the show ended, I turned to Gerald and said, I can't believe I said that. That was moronic.
Yes.
It was staring me right in the face. And for some reason, yeah. I missed it.
It wasn't the cello thing either.
No, it wasn't the cello thing. You're still wrong about that.
He is wrong.
I'm not.
So yesterday, we were talking about Cain Velasquez and, you know, Free Cain and the guy who tried to shoot the pedophile who molested his child. Okay.
Right.
So then I decided to try and extend an olive branch to people of all different walks of life discussing different religions and pedophilia. I made this dumb statement just yesterday on Mug Club. Any of the actual mainstream religions across the globe, whether it's Hinduism, whether it's Taoism, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Islam. Okay. I don't know of any religion that has anything but disdain. I know some religions don't have hate at all, but disdain for pedophiles. Okay. See if you can catch where it's done. My producers quickly pointed out, and I had already recognized it, so at this point it was like browbeating me.
Yeah.
That of course I got this incorrect because, I mean, Muhammad had a six-year-old child bride.
Oh.
Muhammad had a six-year-old child bride. And so, hold on, wait. But then I realized it's not really fair of you to admonish me. It's not, because he only consummated when she was nine.
We really messed that up.
I guess we're splitting hairs at that point.
I mean, a little bit, yeah.
I mean, Michael Bay movie pretty quick.
He waited 30% longer than she'd been alive.
He only made love to her thighs.
How long do they live, though?
Well, who knows?
15?
Well, depends. Are you accounting for the psychological trauma?
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not saying I'm for it.
Right, yeah.
I just was curious if it was like King Tut at 13.
Right.
Or if it was like 45.
No, he was old and she was 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aisha was
I'm not
6.
Saying 6 is okay in any point, even if he's 9.
Right.
It's still bad.
It's still weird.
Yeah.
It still shouldn't be taught in
I just didn't
schools.
Know if we had an age. Yeah, I don't think we should have Muhammad sex class.
No. Well, that would just be abuse.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I'm not going to say it.
It would just be don't commit these felonies.
You guys do you. I'm fine with it. Yeah. Don't get mad at me.
Yeah.
I'm very afraid of your peaceful.
It's always funny, too, when people say, well, Aisha actually really she adored and she loved Muhammad. You ever hear of Stockholm Syndrome?
She didn't have a choice.
It could be called Muhammad Syndrome.
I mean, at the time, they didn't. Stockholm was around.
I guess, you know, psychology book.
Well, that's the problem. She didn't know what to call it.
It was just called kidnapping.
Yes.
Spoils of war.
Terrible. That's basically what he did there, and he also did that. All right, so there we go. I've been admonished.
As you should be.
Okay, let's move on here to something that I also wanted to... What's happening right now? They're talking about power to cut... Okay.
They cut power CNN to Chernobyl. Well, that's not a bad thing.
I drive a Tesla.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
I'd be willing to pay $45 a gallon.
I'm in the middle of a white-on-white war. Who cares?
Yeah. Let's talk about Yemen. You know how insignificant Yemen is? Back in I don't know if it was in the 90s, there was an episode of Friends when Chandler was trying to avoid Janice, this annoying woman. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I can't be with you because I'm moving to Yemen. That was the joke, was he didn't even know. He just made up a country, and then he had to actually go to Yemen. So they picked the most insignificant country, inconsequential country to make a joke about, which used to be okay back then, but now we have to act like Yemen is equal to all. And I'm not saying that the conflict is not one that is riddled with and corruption, by the way.
Yeah.
Of course, corruption.
Also, she was a Jewish woman with a giant nose who had a nasally laugh. That's what he didn't like about her.
Yeah, for
Think
years I thought it was Fran Drescher.
That is. Yeah.
Well, and Dave, you know that midnight train going to anywhere? It used to say anywhere but Yemen, but they had
it's
to
true.
Remove that.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
I prefer his brother Yeoman.
Yes.
Omen?
That was his middle name. First Damon. Name, Damien.
Mm. Damien.
Damien Yeoman.
That's a Damien Yeoman?
Yeah.
There's Yemen and Cayman.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
All roughly,
so make sure I have this
the
right.
Yemen Islands.
The same.
Yeah, the Yemen Islands.
By the way, cool. Yeah, make sure you get that right because Cayman Islands, Yemen Islands, horrible
yeah,
place to hide
there.
Your crypto.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Very bad.
It's not the same offshore account.
You can't even hide.
I don't think that's how crypto
I hit
works.
All my money in the Yemen Islands. Yeah. Ooh, you're going to lose it. You're gonna lose everything.
That's bad.
What is that? Oh, it's a typo. Oh boy, you don't have anything left.
No, it's all gone.
Always gets the details.
Speaking of dollars, let's talk about something. Go with me here for a second, because this may sound boring, but I'm going to try and simplify it so easy that even CNN could understand it.
What?
Okay. A big fallout too with this war with Russia and Ukraine. There's a lot of it that doesn't really affect you.
Yeah.
Until we get to the point where there are actual nukes being launched or international missiles being launched, whatever type of international weaponry you want to discuss. That being said, there are things that affect you right away, especially as we're discussing the economic sanctions with Russia and with Ukraine. The United States, you know what it means, the reserve currency?
Yeah.
Can you explain, for people who don't know, here, let me explain it to you really quick. Do you ever kind of wonder why the United States can afford to take out huge amounts of debt and why it's so cheap for Americans to buy foreign products? That's the short answer is because of the status of the United States dollar as the reserve currency. Now, what does that mean? As of about 2020, 59% of central bank reserves around the world are basically held in American dollars. What does that mean? That means that the American dollar dominates finance across the globe, not just the United States. That's why we are effectively the world's only superpower right now. It's why sanctions coming from the United States currently have teeth and hurt. Now, when the United States sanctions Russia economically, and this is something that Jill and I were talking about, and this is what we're discussing right now, sanctioning them economically, it pushes them to use what? Someone else's currency.
Oh, in the arms of another lover, huh?
It pushes them into the arms of another lover. Now, who might that be? Good thing I have some quotes here. I'll reference available at ladderwithcrowder.com. Biden's flexing of American economic muscle will only embolden Russia and other U.S. rivals, notably China. To the chickity China.
Oh, boy.
To deprive the United States of the very power that makes sanctions so devastating. Russia and China will expedite initiatives to de-dollarize their economies, building alternative financial institutions and structures that protect themselves from the sanctions. So, look, let me give you an update on what this means for all of you, okay? Because if this happens where the United States loses its reserve currency status, it will destroy life as you know it. And as Christians, that's where you're going to have to start finding comfort by God's definition, not comfort by your definition. But it will destroy your life as you know it. Not saying you're going to die. What I'm going to say is everything that you know, how you purchase things, the kinds of life luxuries that you can enjoy, gone in a flash. You're going to have to learn how to live differently. Last week, I think, was it last week that we reported Visa and MasterCard?
Yeah. Visa and MasterCard and a slew of other companies, but this one specifically on the financial side, they pulled out of Russia. And basically what that did is that pushed Russia into the arms of China again with Union Pay.
Well, how so? Oh, Union Pay, the Chinese.
Yes, exactly.
It's state owned.
Yeah.
It's Chinese state owned, the payment system. So
sort of free.
So we think like, hey, great, we're pressuring. And by the way, they'll also still accept Diners Club. Don't know why.
Weird.
They're the last place on the planet that has members.
In Soviet Russia, we only accept Union Pay. We also take Diners Club. It doesn't make sense to me. Just slide it across long table.
I like it.
Yes.
I'm in the club.
I like the logo that has not been updated since 1974.
That's what I do.
It looks like Surfer. It looks like a Dogtown Z-Boys t-shirt.
Yes.
They're frugal.
Here's the thing. First off, this also doesn't punish Putin. You think Putin's paying with MasterCard? He's paying with a glare.
It's like,
what do you think the last time somebody walked up to him with a check?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
He's just sitting in an ATM like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
I've used every card in my
world. Oh, no. I'm overdraft.
Oh, good discover. Still works fine.
Still, yes.
Oh, good. Hey, good.
Oh.
They can take all the help I can give them.
Yes, exactly. So this is obviously we know about this, okay, Russia and China. And we've talked about this. Russia and China should not be allies.
Yeah.
They should hate each other because Russia now is vehemently anti-communist. At least that's what Putin says. But we've seen them now creating these alliances. We talked about the wheat embargo.
Yeah.
That's a big
deal.
Selling
a ton of it there, right? Selling a ton of oil.
Right.
Real wheat.
China. But it's not just Russia and China. And this is something else that maybe you could bring up.
Yeah. There are other people that we want to keep on our side.
What kind of other people?
I really don't know. We did an Ion segment for these people for a long time. But right now, we really want you to be our friends.
I'm foreshadowing.
India also has the same fear that the United States might use similar kind of crippling economic sanctions against them. And you might go, well, look, that's never going to happen. You remember when Trump went over there and he was received in their cricket stadiums with like 100,000 people or something like that, or even more? Hugely popular over there. And China is not necessarily naturally going to align itself with India. They don't
like
each other.
Just like Russia.
Right? But the Biden administration is actually considering sanctions on India right now for a purchase that they made in 2018 when they bought some stuff they weren't supposed to buy. Yeah, with crypto. It was probably with crypto.
Yeah, they
bought
it with crypto.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Right?
Are you kidding me?
No, and here's the thing. Yeah, so India generally hates China.
Right.
And vice versa, you know.
Well,
typically.
The Chinese hate everything.
Well,
that's true.
It's not Chinese.
No, they don't.
They even hate other Asians because they're not Asian enough, according to the Chinese. Just look at what the Chinese and the Japanese have done to each other. I'm not saying that I don't like the Chinese. I'm saying the Chinese don't like non-Chinese.
The Chinese don't like the Chinese.
That's true.
Well,
they're not sort of like the French.
On which
not good to their people.
The French don't like the French. That's why when you get down to the people who no one likes, the French in France just make fun of the French from Quebec, and the French from Quebec just make fun of the French from France. It's just silly.
That is silly.
It's so irrelevant.
Yeah.
You guys are silly.
They're just each other's
good wine,
berated whipping post. So India hates China so much. To give you some historical context, they actually bought a missile defense system from India, bought this from Russia, largely to protect against China.
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
To protect against China, India bought a missile defense system. This is a good example. This should be a really easy opportunity. It's a layup when we're talking about international destabilization to make India an ally.
Yeah, exactly. And just if people are out there saying, look, India is never going to do anything like this, just remember what happened in World War I. I've said it before, Russia and Germany. Germany pretty much destroyed Russia and led to the revolution that they had in their country.
Right.
And then in World War II, they signed a non-aggression pact before the
war. That one worked
happened.
Like a charm.
Well, yeah, exactly. Right up until somebody was aggressive. But when countries see an opportunity, all of a sudden, things become a little bit more clear. Russia says, you know what? Maybe we don't like China a whole lot right now, but if we ally with them, we can form this dominance over here. We'll deal with it down the road, them kind of overpowering us. Same thing with India.
Say ally or align, but you mix the two?
Did I say ally?
Yeah.
Ah, well.
Admonish.
I thought you were talking about
admonish
is align.
Admonish him.
I think that might be a proper usage of that word, but maybe not.
I disagree.
So can we do the other admonish, please?
No, that's the appropriate use of that word. And Muhammad didn't have sex with a six-year-old. Go on, Gerald.
Play a cello over here talking about India.
Well, we'll be playing the violin correctly over here.
Yeah.
But you're talking about countries that have been warring, essentially, over the Kashmir region, right? And they basically
Kashmir.
Well, it's not the sweaters, Dave.
Oh.
They wouldn't be natural allies, but when you see an opportunity and you have the threat, and that's what the Biden administration is.
And just to be clear, China right now, and when I say China, just to be clear, in case you try and say that this is racist, we empathize deeply with the Chinese people, which is why I have unbelievable hatred for the communist Chinese government. So when I say China, what I really mean are the Chaicoms. Now,
clarify everything we say is annoying.
I know,
right?
I know it really is.
Of course,
annoying.
We don't have an issue with Chinese people. It's a terrible government.
They have fantastic food.
Yeah. Same with
here, American Chinese food.
I think Russians did a lot for Detroit hockey.
Yep, they absolutely did. They're fantastic
good people.
So
just
China
the
is
the guy who runs the show is a bit of a dick. I said
couldn't,
it.
Couldn't agree more. Now, China though they're basically hoping, praying, and wishing. And hoping that the United States sanctions China. Why? So that they can swoop in. So where am I getting this from? Sunday, Foreign Minister Wang Yi, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, I don't care, said China, India should be partners rather than adversaries.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Can you read that in the appropriate...
China, India should be... No. China and India should be partners rather than adversaries.
If your name's Wang, do you really care if somebody mispronounces it?
Yeah.
Please, excuse me.
No. It's pronounced Dick.
Hey, Wang, you're like, excuse me, it's Wang.
Yes.
I come from a long line of Wangs.
It's Wang Kok.
Many Wangs. Right. Yee. Wang, yee.
Middle name, Tank. Oh, well, it just seems like you're putting that on.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what my name is.
It's my cousin, Yang Wow.
Say my name. Peace. My name sounds like penis. So,
oh boy.
Wang Yao is 4 inches, biggest man in China.
Now, also, this is something else we need to recognize, that India is a major partner to the United States, right?
Yeah.
They now need to... Well, look,
they're
they need
a hedge.
Yes,
yeah.
They are a hedge
for us,
against China in the Pacific.
Right. And China is trying to take over as much as they can. And we have this kind of group of four countries called the Quad. India is a part of that currently right now. United States, Japan, and Australia.
Right.
Australia does a ton of trade with China. Do they look like a non-authoritarian regime right now? Do they look like they're leaning towards Western democracy? Or do they look like they're leaning towards Chinese authoritarian?
Right.
This is a problem because if India goes, that's two. We talk about this in a second, but we said it yesterday. It's 2.9 billion people combined with those three countries. And if Australia joins, it's U.S. and Japan, and that's it over there.
So put it this way, right? You're saying, okay, no more oil coming to the United States from Russia. Okay. All right, what's going to happen? Well, this oil is going to be offloaded somewhere, so you're going to increase trading between Russia, China, and now India may want to get in on that action. So if they create an alliance, which really should never...
never happen.
Never have happened.
No.
This nowhere in nature would India, Russia, and China become bedfellows. It's only through the monumental screw-ups of European and American foreign policy. So now you've created a scenario where 2.9 billion people, that's almost half of population Earth, could decide to no longer recognize the United States as reserve currency. And what does that mean? Well, guess what? It means that our sanctions no longer have teeth. Yeah. And what does it mean for you specifically? Well, you think inflation is bad now, you're talking about unbelievable inflation if the United States dollar is not the reserve currency. You're talking about unbelievably high interest rates. So we just look at that and you say, oh, okay, a credit card. No, no, no. Look, increased inflation. Do you want to buy a gallon of milk? We're not just talking about gas. We're talking about everything. And we're also talking about devaluing your dollar. Do you want to send your kids to a private school? Do you want to be able to take your kids to Six Flags? Do you want to be able to buy a candy bar? Do you know, whatever it is, we're talking about inflation the likes of which you have never seen.
Yeah.
Interest rates. Do you want to buy a home? Well, that's almost out of reach for many middle-class Americans now. And that's not because of the market. That's because of too-big-to-fail companies snatching up single-family homes right now like BlackRock.
Oh, crazy.
So high interest rates. You want to buy a home?
Want to
buy a car?
The Tesla you're supposed to go out and buy?
The Tesla you're supposed to buy?
Come on.
Wow, there's $15 gas for the rest of the plebs.
Well, you can both get a Tesla. That's the price of a home.
Right. Yeah, exactly, at this point. Our debts, by the way, can be called in.
Yeah.
So what does that do? That weakens the dollar internationally. It basically would weaken the American standing. Right? The standing of the United States. That right now, you have not experienced a world. You, right now watching. You have not experienced a world where the United States is anything other than the sole economic and global superpower.
Yeah.
And up until recently, I believe that we were usually on the right side of history. That's my biggest concern. That's my biggest concern with this administration right now.
Yeah.
Is we could, I hate to say it, I love this country. I will fight to defend this country. That's why I moved here from that shitty country known as Canada. But as I see this international conflict unfolding, I do worry that maybe with the people at the helm, we may not be on the right side of history. It may be that point in time where people look back and go, America was really wrong on that one. That's what's scary to me. And you've never lived in a world where the United States is not the sole global superpower. And unlike, do you know what global superpowers looked like before the United States? Look at the English Empire. Look at the Ottomans. Look at the Turks. Look at the Romans. They never fought a war for someone else to give them back their stuff.
Yeah.
The fact that Canada exists is proof that this is an unbelievably unique superpower. There's nothing they could do to stop us.
We could take over Mexico and be in the drug business. It's very lucrative.
Yes. And by the way, I think Purdue is actually doing
good
that
idea.
Right now.
Ah, well.
I'm in.
So if these three countries get together and it seems like they are moving that way, we don't need to go to war with the military to already be at war. And you were making this point, too. At what point do we say we are at war? How are we not?
How is this not war when you're funding somebody to defend against an invasion? You're actually saying, hey, we need to give them. They'll stop at sending aircrafts from Poland, which is happening right now. But they're like, yeah, but we'll give you like billions of dollars to buy some if you can find them.
Right.
Come on. I don't know how this is not war.
And by the way, think about this for a second. We're thinking about sanctions on India for what? For purchasing?
Yeah. Missile defense.
For purchasing missile defense.
That's a good idea.
Okay, so we're punishing them for what? For trading military equipment with a... Didn't the United States do that with Ukraine? Didn't we sell them some shit that could hurt people?
I think, but, you know.
So we can do it, but other countries can't?
They're white.
Pardon my ignorance. Are we pretending we're not at war?
Are we still doing that? Is that happening today?
I'm serious. I thought that was official.
I didn't get the memo.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I still don't know if it's okay to do blackface or not, because I know Megyn Kelly just talked about it on a show and she was fired, but then there's a sitting prime minister who's done it like 900 times.
Yes, but Megyn Kelly doesn't hurt a bunch of people.
Right. Well, she does with her stare.
Oh, that's true.
It's like looking into the sun.
I imagine it's hard. No, I don't know her personally.
No, not exactly, but you know, you can levitate an X-Wing. So my point here is, look, you've had it so good for so long, so many Americans, that you feel as though you are removed. Well, let me ask you this. Let's think of it this way. Do you feel removed right now? Could you talk with someone in Ukraine on, I don't know, instant chat, on Snapchat? Could you, whatever app, Discord, can you play a video game with them? Can you, up until recently, I don't know how it works, but I'm sure you can probably still play with whoever in Russia can afford these video game systems. Same thing with Japan, same thing with Taiwan, right? Do you really feel that disconnected, or do you understand that you are closer than ever? Because war is going to be fought through information and through economic punishment. So don't think of this as happening in some far-off land. Just like that guy in Call of Duty can blow your ass away, guess what? Your dollar, our dollar, can be blown away if we keep screwing up. And we've been screwing up monumentally. Have you felt it at the gas pump? Have you felt it at the grocery store? Have you felt it, really, in anything? Take your pick. Right now, you can point to anything in this economy, okay? And you could have pointed to it before Russia, Ukraine, and asked if it was better. Point to anything. Think about it. Employment. No. Gas prices. No. Take anything that exists economically in this country or your creature comforts. Point to it. No. It's not better. And it can get a whole lot worse if you understand what can happen when 2.9 billion people decide that the United States is the big evil of the world, and without firing a shot, they make it so that you will be a permanent class of renters. You will never own anything. You will own nothing, and you will like it. Oh, I forgot, though. That's kind of the goal, isn't it? You can comment below. YouTube, we have a lot to talk about that there's no way we could discuss here because it's a violation not only of TikTok, but of you. So good looking out for China, and we're going to play They Don't Make Them Like They Used To. Breakfast at Tiffany's. Piss off.